This is the Ethanol Report with some highlights from the 13th Annual National Ethanol Conference held recently in Orlando. The theme was Changing the Climate, and Renewable Fuels Association President and CEO Bob Dineen told the more than 2,200 attendees the ethanol industry is becoming the change we want to see.
Today's U.S. ethanol industry is bringing about revolutionary change. It is reshaping our rural landscape, revitalizing communities, and providing the most significant value-added markets farmers have ever seen. Even more dramatic is the change that ethanol is bringing to U.S. motor fuel markets. Ethanol is now a ubiquitous component of the U.S. motor fuel supply, blended in more than 50% of the nation's gasoline, and will very soon be in virtually every single gallon of gasoline sold from coast to coast and border to border. We see this change as nothing but positive.
Dineen says the biggest challenge to the ethanol industry is those who see nothing but negative.
This past year saw the emergence of a food versus fuel debate, as if we need to choose, as if farmers are incapable of supplying the growing needs for food, fiber, and fuel. The chattering class of naysayers ignore that ethanol biorefineries produce both fuel and food, that we only process starch, leaving the high-value feed protein to be marketed to livestock and poultry. This past year, the U.S. ethanol industry produced more than 14 million metric tons of high-quality distiller's feed. Taking the fallacy of food versus fuel to a contrived conclusion, some argue insistently that rising corn prices are at the heart of increased consumer food prices. Ethanol was blamed for higher prices for everything from milk, even though milk prices are set by a government formula unrelated to feed prices, to Mexican tortillas, even though an 8-cent per pound increase in number two yellow corn had absolutely nothing to do with an 80-cent per pound increase in the price of white corn in Mexico.
Addressing further the food versus fuel debate was National Corn Growers Association CEO Rick Tolman, who compared the amount of acreage planted to corn in 1944 to the same acreage planted to corn in 2007.
Both years we had 85 million harvested acres. The average price in 1944 was $1.03. The average farm gate price in 2007 was $3.04. Those are USDA statistics. If you deflated that, actually the price was higher in 1944 than it was in 2007. But on that 85 million acres, we harvested 2.8 billion bushels of corn in 1944. And in 2007, we harvested 13.1 billion bushels. 33 bushels to the acre in 1944, 151 bushels to the acre in 2007. Now, in 1944, if you would have told farmers that they would be getting 151 bushels to the acre by 2007, they would have thought that you were using some of those corn squeezings for other things than ethanol. They would not have believed it. It just was incomprehensible. But I'll tell you that in the same time period or less, what we will be getting for average bushel to the acre will make that look light.
Bruce Scher, CEO of Informa Economics, which recently did a study showing the many factors that affect retail food prices, noted that farm commodities for the first time have achieved real economic value.
I would suggest to you that real valued commodity prices, that is, prices that sustain real value, will result in more efficient use of commodities, which in turn will sustain the production and availability of commodities. The best way for the supply curves to catch the demand expansions, which are based on willingness and ability to buy on a worldwide basis, is to provide real value to the producer. This isn't something to apologize for. I thought that American capitalism was all about sustainable profitability, meeting global demands in a global marketplace with competitive environments. That's what we're living with today, and that's the nature of the industry that agriculture and ethanol and energy is involved with.
One of the high points of the National Ethanol Conference was Assistant Energy Secretary Andy Karsner's passionate keynote address about the need for combating misinformation about renewable fuels. He urged the media to get the whole story.
We invite you to be more investigative. Look under the hood. Get all the facts. Don't publish things that are sensational for the sake of hard copy or the news item of the moment. Find out what new penetration of biofuels means to this economy, to our security, to our planet. We will make it easy for you and give you as many scientists, papers, dialogues, debates, discussions as are worthy to be entertained in a new era of eroding our addiction to fossil fuels and greenhouse gases.
Karstner also addressed the biofuel sustainability arguments and expressed his frustration that the whole story there is not being told.
I'd like to make sure that people understand that we are collaborating in partnership with Conservation International, a renowned global NGO on direct and indirect land use for biofuels, and how we plan out and sustain the future of that growth, how we're performing life cycle assessments on soil, and have already done the studies to demonstrate how 60 billion gallons is possible without affecting the CRP land at all, up to 30% by 2030 using biofuels. The collaborative effort with states and DOE and EPA and USDA and DOT and the growers and the environmental organizations on a U.S. national bioenergy GIS mapping tool and atlas to demonstrate how we get to environmental quality. We want that story told.
And the only way that story is going to be told, Karstner says, is through the voices of those in the renewable fuels industry. I'm Cindy Zimmerman with the Ethanol Report.